Coming back. is pounding inside. He's waiting for you. His love is true. On a cross he died for you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Cry out to God. He will hear your cry. He'll give you a life that's within. He will never leave nor forsake you. You must be born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Now your name is written up above. Trying to hide, all the while your heart is pounding inside. He's waiting for you. His love is true. On a cruel cross he died for you. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Born again.
Hope you have your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 15 as we begin looking at a story of salvation, which really fits with our missions emphasis month. As we go to Luke chapter 15 this morning, it's a chapter that has the story of the prodigal son, but there are a couple of other stories that go right along with that that help us to see how a person is lost without Christ. And must be born again. And so that has been our theme this morning with our hymns talking about missions, reaching the lost, and Lawrence's songs so appropriate to that as well. And as we look at Luke chapter 15, we're going to look first of all that a lost person is ignorantly lost, and it's a parable about the lost sheep in this chapter. And then man also is helplessly lost, and there's a story about lost silver. And then the prodigal son, man is also willfully lost, and this story about the lost son. So we are very familiar with the hymn, Amazing Grace, probably the most popular hymn, even to an unsaved and unchurched society. And it says, I once was lost, but now I'm found. And that's why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. And this chapter has a wonderful story, three of them actually this morning that we'll see, that show a person how to be saved for those who are lost. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the scriptures. We pray that you would speak to our hearts as we look at your word this morning. We thank you the Holy Spirit is the one who draws people to be saved so that they can become born again. And Father, we pray if there's any here this morning who have never trusted Christ as Savior, and Lord, that they would today be born again. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we first begin looking at this story of the sheep, Jesus says to them, beginning in verse 4, a parable. He said, "What man of you having 100 sheep?" So he has 100 and he loses one. He says, you're not going to just say, oh, it's just 1 out of 100. The shepherd, of course, cares for that one lost sheep. And so here are sheep living without purpose. Isaiah 53 tells us that sheep wander. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And so sheep wander around aimlessly, without a purpose in life. But God has a purpose for each one of you. He has a purpose for every person who's born. And our purpose in life is not just to go to work and earn a living and then retire and be able to enjoy retirement with whatever kinds of activities you enjoy. God has more for us than that. Why am I here? Well, sheep wander around without a purpose, but God has a purpose for you and a purpose for me. Well, also, sheep wander around without a provision as well. The wonderful Psalm 23, tells us that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want, because the shepherd provides everything that the sheep needs. Sheep are not equipped with claws or fangs or speed in order to flee away from the lions and the wolves and the bears that try to take them, and they are so dependent upon the shepherd to take care of all of their needs. Sheep in the Bible are pictured as ignorant animals, ignorant in the sense of without knowledge, not stupid. There's a different word there. And we are compared to sheep in the Bible. It is because that we don't have any way of providing salvation for ourselves. Had Christ not come and died and paid the cross, there's no way that we could save ourselves, because there's no good within man. We are so dependent upon the completed work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. And like the good shepherd leads them to still waters and leads them to green pastures and anoints the head with oil, and the shepherd takes care of every need they have, we have a shepherd who does that for us. And so man, like sheep, is lost without that knowledge, doesn't know unless someone comes. That's why we carry the gospel throughout the world, to tell people the good news of salvation. Well, also, these sheep, they don't have any promise. They don't have any promise of life to go on living. But when God saves us, He gives us a purpose for living. He gives us provision while we're living. And He gives us a promise that we're going to go on living. Even after we die, we're going to go on living for all eternity, because He's come that we might have eternal life. And people can go to heaven without being famous, and people can go to heaven without being wealthy, and people can go to heaven with a lot of things, but nobody's going to heaven without Jesus, because He is the only way to get there. And He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. And so that's what Jesus is. He is the good shepherd. He laid down His life for us so we could have eternal life, because as sheep, we can't provide that for ourselves. Someone said years ago, life with Christ is an endless hope. Life without Christ is a hopeless end. And so Christ has come that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. He said to the thief on the cross, remember, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. He made a promise to him that he would go on living even after he died. And that's what God has given to us when He gives eternal life. Well, He goes on, Jesus does, to explain salvation a little bit more. And so then He gives another parable of a woman who has lost a coin, some silver. And it says in verse 8, either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does she not light a candle? She sweeps the house and she looks diligently until she finds it. And just like the shepherd doesn't say, oh, I have 99 left, I'm going to go ahead and just let that one go. If the woman has 10 pieces of silver, she doesn't say, oh, I've got 9 more. She's going to go and look for that one. And we can make an application here with these two parables. When you think about the wilderness and the house, the first parable is explaining how someone is lost out into the wilderness, and the second one is explaining how someone is lost within the house. And so oftentimes there are people that are lost without Christ out in the world. But you know, sometimes there are people that are lost in the house of God. They come to church, and just because they come to church doesn't mean that they're born again. And so people that are living in the wilderness need Jesus. People that are in church need Jesus. And he gives this parable of the lost silver there. And we see, first of all, that this lost silver is dependent there. Can you imagine losing a coin, a silver coin or a $100 bill or something like that in your house, and you're looking for it, and that coin or that money is totally dependent upon you? Oh, the coin can't do like we would do whenever we were kids and we were playing, you know, hide and seek or some kind of game like that. Well, whenever they would get close, they would say, you're getting hotter, or to get away, you're getting colder. Well, the coin can't cry out and help the finder. It's totally dependent there. And so that's the way man is. We are lost, and we are so dependent upon God. There's not anything we can do to help him find us. He is the shepherd. He is also the one that finds us. Remember, God asked Adam, where art thou, after he had sinned? And God didn't need to know where Adam was. He knew where Adam was, but he needed Adam to be confronted with his own sin, and he did that, and he gave Adam a chance there. Well, not only is this coin dependent on the one searching for it, we also see that this coin is destitute, that is, worthless. This lost coin, what's its value? Well, it's a silver coin, but until this woman finds it, she's not going to use it to buy anything. She is not useful at all. It has no value. It has potential value, and so we are without Christ. Not only are we dependent upon him, we are worthless. We are helpless. There's not a thing we can do to help Christ find us. But then whenever he saves us, he gives us some worth because we have his Spirit living within us. Romans 8:8 says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so without Christ, we don't have any eternal value. Oh, we might have some value to help some needy people and do some other things. But as far as eternity and spiritually goes, there is no value there. Can you imagine someone standing before a judge who is guilty of a crime, and the judge pulls into his pocket, reaches in, and he pays the fine, and he sets the person free. And no longer is he held accountable for what he's done. And that's what Christ did for us. We were destitute. We could not pay the debt of sin. But Christ, who is the judge of all the earth, he paid that price for us. And now when we're saved, we're born again, we have some value. We can be used not because of who we are or what we can do, but what God can do in and through us when he comes to live within us. But we also see, just like this coin is an inanimate object, it's not alive, it's dead. The word death in the Bible speaks of separation. Whenever a person dies physically, the body is separated from the soul and the spirit. Whenever a person dies spiritually or eternally, their soul is separated from God for all eternity. And here's this coin that is separated from his owner. And so it is totally dead. The Bible says that we are helpless and unresponsive, just like this coin. The Bible says none seek after God. And so this coin is not getting up trying to go find the owner. God sent his Son from the glories of heaven to come to earth to seek and to save those which were ignorantly lost, wandering like the sheep. God sent his Son from heaven to come and to save those that were helplessly lost and could not do anything to save themselves. But God also sent his Son into the world to die for those who were willfully lost. So a person doesn't stand before God with an excuse and say, God, I didn't know. I was ignorant. God, I couldn't do it myself. But then he looks to God and God says, your own will. And so God has given to each one of us a will. And then he goes into the next parable, the one that we call the parable of the prodigal son. Prodigal is a word that means wasteful. And you know the story of the son who wanted to get his inheritance, and so he asked his father to go ahead and give it to him now. And so he goes into a far country and he spends everything he has, and then he realizes that even the hired laborers are better off than he is, and so he goes back to his home. It was of his own will he chose to go. I preached this message here in 2010, so if you have a really good memory 9 years ago, you might remember this, and I shared with you what's called prodigal son in F. Maybe you've seen it over the internet. It's popped up here and there. And some of you might think I would have written it because of the alliteration, but I didn't write it there. But I had this in my notes and things way back from college before the internet was invented. But it's interesting, so let me read it to you if you've never heard of the prodigal son in F. It says, feeling footloose and frisky, a feather-brained fellow forced his fond father to fork over his farthings. He flew far to foreign fields and frittered his fortune, feasting fabulously with faithless friends. Finally, facing famine and fleeced by his fellows in folly, he found himself a feed flinger in a filthy farmyard. Fairly famished, he fain would have filled his frame with foraged food from the fodder fragments. Phooey, my father's flunkies fare far fancier, he frazzled, the frazzled fugitive fumed feverishly, frankly facing facts. I have to slow down to be able to get all these words in. Frustrated by failure and filled with foreboding, he fled forthwith to his family. Falling at his father's feet, he floundered forlornly. Father, I have flunked and fruitlessly forfeited family favor. But the faithful father, forestalling further flinching, frantically flagged the flunkies to fetch forth the finest fatling from the flock and fix a feast. Well, the fugitive's fraternal fault finder frowned on the fickle forgiveness of the former falderal. His fury flashed, but fussing was futile. The far-sighted father figured, such filial fidelity is fine, but what forbids fervent festivity? For the fugitive is found. Unfurl the flags with flaring. Let fun and frolic freely flow. Former failure is forgotten. Folly forsaken. Forgiveness forms the foundation for future fortitude. And I don't know how long it took somebody to come up with that, but it says a lot. Forgiveness. And that's what the story of this lost sheep is about. The story of the lost coin, and now the story of this man being willfully lost. As we look at the parable of the prodigal son, we see first of all his desire in verse 12. It says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And this kind of a desire, a selfish desire there of give me. And it tells us that he went into a far country in verse 13. And a far country, of course, is any place without God. And so he left his home and he goes into this far country, a place without God. And he's realizing that the desires he had were maybe they weren't such good desires after all. He wasted his life, verse 13. It says, he wasted his substance with riotous living. And whenever we live a life of selfish, self-centered desires, it's a wasted life. But whenever we realize, like that coin that was found, we have value to our Father who loves us and sent his Son to die for us, then we're no longer in a far country. Notice three things that kind of are steps to a far country. The first one is in verse 12, is discontentment. And he didn't want the things he had. He wasn't satisfied with what God has given him. Paul said that I have learned, and whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. So when we have a discontented heart, we need to be careful because it can lead to a life of selfish desire. The second thing in verse 13 we see that was a step to go into a far country was not seeking his Father's direction. He decided just to go his own way and do his own plans. And we are foolish when we don't listen to the guidance of our fathers and our forefathers and our godly leaders there. And then in verse 15, we see he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And we see another thing that is a step to being in a far country is wrong companions. So discontentment, not seeking his Father's direction, wrong companions can lead to a wasted life. Well, not only was he having the wrong desire, we see him in his despair. After he goes to this foreign country, he is in want. And this is a result of his selfish, self-centered life. We see in verse 14, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, but no man gave unto him there. And here he is in despair. He's in the hog pen of life. Have you ever felt like you were there in the hog pen of life? And that's the way we are without Christ. We're just wallowing, hoping for some help. But it says nobody gave him. And that's why with our Faith Promise Missions program, with Missions Emphasis Month, there are people that are living in the hog pen of life. And the Bible has commanded us to go and tell them and let them know that they're outside of God's will. Unfortunately, there are too many people and also too many churches that are, instead of trying to get the prodigals out of the pig pen, they're trying to paint the pig pens, you know, and maybe tie some bows around the post of them there. The Bible says, woe to them that call good evil and evil good. And if we're going to bring them from the pig pen of life, we have to tell them that unless you repent and be born again, you shall perish because they are in despair going their own ways. And so then he made his decision. His decision in verse 18, he says, I will arise. The Bible says he came to himself. He came to his senses. And he realized that here I am living in this hog pen and back at my father's house. He has servants that are better off than I am. And when I was there, he provided for me like the shepherd does for the sheep. I had everything I needed when I was there as his son. And he wasn't lacking for the silver because his father was wealthy. He had everything he needed. But he makes this decision, and this decision he makes, we see three things about this decision. It was personal. He says, I will arise. In verse 16, it says, he desired to have, but it says, no man gave unto him. And nobody can give you salvation, other than Christ, of course. Just because your parents are Christians doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you go to church, that doesn't make you a Christian. Just because your grandparents are Christians, that doesn't make you a Christian. There must be a personal decision where, just like this prodigal son, it was personal with him, and he said, I will arise. Well, it was also not just personal, but it was definite. He said, I will arise. And the Bible says that whosoever will may come. And so here his will at first was to do his own thing, to go his own way. But God worked in his person's heart, and he begins to realize how much he's missing there. And God doesn't receive someone against his own will. And so, yes, like the sheep, we are ignorantly lost. And like the silver, we are helplessly lost. But we're all willfully lost. We go our own way. We choose our way as he did. And he made this decision. And this decision was active. He said, I will arise. Wishing that he would be back at his father's home didn't get him there. Wishing that he had not strayed away like the sheep didn't get him there. He had to arise. Jesus said in John 6:37, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And so he made the decision, I'm going to go to my Father. I will arise. And whenever he did that decision save him? Well, there were two things involved in his salvation. First of all, there was confession. He decided to go back home, but as he does, he must confess. He says, I'm going to go back home and I'm going to say to him, Father, verse 18, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And whenever we sin, we have sinned against God. That's what King David said when he was confessing his sin. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this wickedness in thy sight. And all of our sin is against a holy God. And he goes and he confesses it. But just because he confessed it, he's not saved at this point from the parallel that the Lord is giving us of a lost person. It tells us here in verse 20. He arose, he came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And there's also the compassion, his father's part. What if he had made this decision to arise and go back, and he gets back home and the father said, you had your chance. You wanted your part of the inheritance now, and sorry, you made your decision. Well, he didn't do that, and we know that God won't do that as either, because Jesus said to us in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. It doesn't matter how long a person has been in the hog pen of life. It doesn't matter how many years of life they have wasted and how much sin they have done. He makes a promise that anyone who says, I will arise and go back to my father, just as this father in the parable, he sees his son coming with arms open wide, full of compassion. He runs and he hugs him and he grabs him and he takes him in, and then they begin to have this wonderful feast there. Because that's one of the things that we see. If a person is lost today, he's ignorantly lost, he's helplessly lost, and he's willfully lost. But at the end of each one of these parables that Jesus gives, there is one common consequence there. There are a lot of consequences of being saved, but joy is one of them. And verse 7, whenever the one finds the sheep, comes back, and they're rejoicing because I found that lost sheep. And then we see also in verse 10, when the woman finds this lost silver, she's rejoicing because she has found that lost coin. And now the prodigal son comes home, and the father says, let's get this fatted calf and let's have a feast and let's rejoice, and gave him the ring, and there was a great time of joy. Whenever we come to know the Lord and we realize that we are lost, ignorantly so, we are lost helplessly so, and of my own free will, I've gone my own way and done my own thing, as sheep we've gone astray, and we come to the Lord and he saves all of us there. There was rejoicing with all of them. The old devil, he's the one who wants to destroy the sheep. And he wants you to think that there's joy in your way of life. See, that prodigal son thought he had a way of finding joy. getting all of his money, all of his inheritance, and going to a different place. The grass is always greener, you know, they say there, but it wasn't there. And he missed out on the joy that God wanted him to have. There's a chorus, it's an old chorus, and we're going to sing it. It's our hymn of invitation in a few minutes. Some of you may know it. If you want joy, real joy, this prodigal son was looking for joy, but he didn't have joy. He realized it. He said, I got to go back home. I got to go to my father. And then I'll have the provision of everything I need. And even though I have failed terribly, I know my God, my father, is full of compassion. And he's compassionate to you as well. It doesn't matter what you've done or how often you've done it. If you are lost today without Christ, he wants you to come to him. I will arise and go to my father. And he that comes to him, he will in no wise, he will never refuse anyone, no matter how wicked their sin has been. And he'll receive you. If you've never been saved and you want to trust Christ as your Savior, as we sing this hymn of invitation, we're going to sing it through twice. We invite you to come. And from the Word of God, we can show you how you too can come to your Father and have the joy and fellowship with him that he wants you to have. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the stories that Jesus told. We see in these parables his great desire for people to be saved and to go to heaven and not go to hell for all eternity. We thank you for your wonderful compassion, that even whenever we are living lives of selfishness, being lost, going our own way, Lord, that you're patient. The Bible says you're long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should arise and go to the Father for forgiveness. And we thank you that your forgiveness is full and complete. In Jesus' name we pray.